This is truth. Absolute. The platinum standard. I don't put any stock in any media outlets anymore and anything in government. I just don't. I'm gonna take my cues from what God has told me. I'm gonna live my life the way God has told me, and that's how I'm gonna operate. But the two words that I've heard of late are, of all things, and this the first one's a hard one for me, you know this, optimistic. I've heard this word bouncing out a lot lately. I've also heard the word peace. Of course, we are at the Christmas season, and you do hear that, And when I say the word optimistic and peace, they're just two words that I've heard. And I'm here to tell you that as far as the, you know, I know what everybody wants as far as peace is concerned. I really do. I understand that for both the world. I understand it for, our country, I understand it for our family, our neighborhoods, and our families. But these two words I've heard, and what I want to do is, I'll probably either preach on one or the other, or maybe both of them, I'm not really sure. But let me start with the first one that is a major problem of mine, because I am the eternal pessimist. I'll blame most of it on my old nature, and that's wrong. Because we really can't blame things on our old nature, can we? Not as a child of God and not with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to do it anyway. So the eternal pessimist, who the first thing I look at is what's wrong. You know, I see, they say that the optimistic person sees a half full glass, and I see, Steve said it, half empty. You know what I mean? That's supposedly how they analyze you as far as whether or not you're optimistic or pessimistic. I can't say that I see that in everything, but part of that is that old investigatory nature of mine to look for the bad first before I revel in the good. But optimistic means hoping or believing that good things will happen in the future. I've heard this word bounced around over the last week, the couple of times I've, you know, ventured towards media, and I've tried to keep it as far as possible in that regard. And I can say this, as we enter 2025, I think it would behoove us to have that attitude, would it not? I mean, it would behoove all of us, both as individuals and as families and as a congregation and as citizens of this country and as America. I would like to see America optimistic in that regard, hoping or believing that good things will happen in the future. And I'm not saying that they are or they aren't, because I'm going to be honest with you. We don't know what a day will bring forth. That's right. We don't know what a day will bring forth. There have been very few years in my life, especially since I've gotten older, that another year hasn't brought forth someone that I knew no longer being here. We experienced that this year, didn't we? As a church. Some as families. Some even closer to home than that. As we look into 2025, the hope is, and the believing is that good things will happen. And I want that. But, and I'll tell you right now, a change in political administrations, people feel one way or the other. And I'll be honest with you, my hope is not in a changing political administration. My hope, my optimistic hope, or believing that good things will happen in the future is not dependent on what's going to take place 60 miles from here. It's not. My hope and believing on the good things that will happen in the future will be the blessings that are going to come because of my relationship with my God through my Savior. That's where my hope and my believing in future good things lies. Now, is everything going to go good in my life in 2025? I tell you, 2024 was a rough year for our family. Now, it rallied here at the end, and some good things happened, and I don't know what 2025 holds for me, but I do know this. I know who holds 2025. Amen. And it ain't me, and it ain't a doctor, and it ain't a healthcare system, and it's not an administration. My hope and trust is in the Lord. If there was ever a man in Scripture that nailed that down, it was David. Over and over and over again in the Psalms. His hope, his trust was in the Lord, even compassed about with enemies. I see times where he's having a rough time, but then there's other times where even surrounded by enemies, he's optimistic. And what he says is God's going to take care of it. Our enemies today aren't men standing, invading us from another country, landing on our shores, and we're fighting. No, no. Our enemies are very different. Yet they're out there. But what is your hope and trust in as we move into the future? As I looked up the definition of optimistic, I couldn't help but run into synonyms. You know, when they have the definition, normally I stop right there, I'll write it down, and I won't go any further. But today, I kept scrolling down through what it was talking about, and it hit the synonyms portion, and then gave this long list of synonyms for optimistic. Let me read some of these to you, and then I'll show you what the Lord did today. We're probably not going to get to the other one, but we'll try. Some of the synonyms of optimistic are promising. These I took right off the internet. This wasn't out of Noah Webster, okay? When Noah Webster first wrote the dictionary, optimistic was, I think, a new word. Or a relatively new word. He didn't elaborate on it. We have much broader definitions of it today. Promising. This is optimistic. Synonyms. Listen to these words. And then plug them into your spiritual minds. Let them speak to you spiritually. Because they're not just words. Promising. Bright. Hopeful. A couple of them are words that we use today that wouldn't have been used back in Bible times. One of them, upbeat, encouraging, positive, heartening, fair, golden, reassuring, favorable, confident, optimistic. I can honestly say that as I looked at the words today in the list, I thought, hey, they match with quite a few verses in the Bible. And then I started looking. I didn't do this chronologically, so sorry. We're going to bounce around a little bit. all right? But let's start with the first one, promising. Go to 2 Peter. Get your turning fingers ready. Go to 2 Peter, and I got to get my turning fingers ready too. 2 Peter chapter 1, and I scribbled these down, so if I get them in the wrong order or something, forgive me. 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember, the first synonym is promising. Chapter 1, verse 1, just for context. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, colon. Who he is about to address is very specific. This is in 66 AD in the Roman world. This is not to the Roman Empire. This is not to Rome itself. This isn't to the provinces that surround the Mediterranean Sea. This is a very specific people group that Peter addresses here. He said, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is talking about no one but people that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is who what follows is addressed to. And it can't go any further than that, because that's who it's addressed to. Grace, look at this, and peace, all right? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace are multiplied through knowledge of God and through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? We have it in our hands. I tell you, of all the generations that have lived on this earth, we are without excuse. We have all the answers. All the answers. I don't need a shrink to tell me anything. I'm serious. The answers are all here. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious, what? What is that? Optimistic? Promising. Great and precious promises, that by these ye might be to partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions that is in the world through lust. Look, these promises aren't a multi-million dollar house or a Grand Cherokee Wagoneer at $120,000. That's not what these promises are. These promises are precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's something that others don't have. That is a reason why I should be optimistic. No matter what. Correct? Correct? No matter what. No matter what. Look, I've broken promises, and so have you. We've all broken promises. We've made them, we've broken them, we've had them given to us, and we've had them broken as far as coming back to us is concerned. But God is not a promise breaker. His word has always been true. What he says has always come to be. And what is future will come to be. One of those great and precious promises that he gave us is the blessed hope. I personally, I'm sorry, young people, and you'll agree with me when we all get there together, because I used to sit where all you young people sit, thinking in my mind when preachers talked about, I want Jesus to come back right now. You know what I was sitting there thinking as a young person about Nathan's age? Man, I ain't even got it started yet. You're thinking that, aren't you, Nathan? I ain't even gotten started yet. Man, I don't want that. I'm serious. If you didn't sit there and think that, you're a liar. Because you did. I want to have this baby. I want that baby too. But I tell you what, let's just go. You can have the baby in heaven. Hey, how's that going to work? Man, let's cook our noodles for a second. What if the rapture happens right now? What's going to happen? Ever thought about that? Oh, absolutely. But she ain't going to be a baby. There's what'll cook your noodle. You don't have to go through all the ER trips. Man, you got it made. You don't have to lay beside a sick kid who you think is dying. Been there, done it. Sat in my uniform in the Elkton Hospital, bargaining with God. If you spare my daughter, I'll do this, that, and the other. You want to talk about broken promises? I wasn't 5 minutes out that hospital door and already started breaking them. Yet God was still good to me, in spite of my sin. Wouldn't that be cool, though? I'm ready right now. I'm ready right now. Promising, great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. You know why God's telling us that? Even though we're still here and we're in it and we still got our old nature, it's as good as if it's gone, because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Holy moly. Bright was the next one. Turn to Revelation chapter 22, 16. Man, I hit that one with one turn. That was amazing. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. And notice here, the bright and morning star. I'm thankful that my Savior is the bright and morning star. Aren't you? And someday, I'm going to get to see him. And I'm looking for, and I'm optimistic about that. No, I'm more than optimistic. That's a sure thing. The next one is hopeful. Look at 1 Peter. Go back to 1 Peter again. We're not going to get through all of these. 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice there, verse 13, hopeful, the hope there. See, there, when we talk about hope, particularly in a church environment, particularly our church environment, with what we know about Scripture, when the world talks about hope, they're talking about something that, well, maybe, that's the world's hope. It's maybe, you know, things are looking good. No, that's not the hope that we have. Pastor Dickerson used to always define it as a sure hope. Very different. It's a hope that is rooted in absolute. So I'm not, it's not like I'm biting my nails or twiddling my thumbs or worrying about it. No, no. Hopeful. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's something I would encourage you to do in the next year as well. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Look, you're not going to get to talk to people if you don't talk to people. And we all have connections with people for one reason or another, due to who we are and what we're interested in or what we've been or what we've done. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And my hope is that someday he will ask me that question. Didn't come up to yesterday, but someday it may. It very well may. I hope it does. I like the young man. He was a likable guy. He was easy to talk to. And he's all alone. All alone in his late 20s. Hopeful. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We still got some time. We are deep in the Old Testament. The next word that we come to that has a verse in the Bible that directly relates to that synonym of optimistic is encouraging. Encouraging. You know what? Let's make a vow tonight. Notice what I said. I didn't say make a New Year's resolution. I said, let's make a vow tonight. Does that up the ante, so to speak? Because I'll be honest with you, if you make a vow, particularly to God, you better be about keeping it. You better be about keeping it. I'm very cautious about making vows, particularly to God. Now, I'll make resolutions. One of them is this. Okay. But I'm not making a vow on that. I'm really not. But let's do this. Let's make a vow in 2025 that we're not going to be a discourager. We're going to be a encourager. How do you discourage? Bite somebody. You say, man, it's been a long time since I put teeth on somebody. Matter of fact, I was a kid and, you know, I bit some kid on the playground or whatever, or some kid bit me. No, we bite with our words, okay? If you want to discourage someone, bite them. You know, the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. There is not a more untrue statement on the face of the earth than that statement. I tell you, there have been times in my life where I would have given you sticks and stones rather than take the words that were thrown my way. They were more hurtful and carved a slice right out of the inside of me that has never totally healed. The scar tissue's still there. But last time I checked, I don't see any of my dad's marks on the back of my legs.
Uh-huh. Last time I checked, they ain't none of them there. And they were some doozies. But they're long gone. But words from all the way back then, they're still scar tissue. It's deep within the soul. Let's vow that we'll be encouragers. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 38. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. And what does it say to do to him? Encourage him. He's going to lead you. He's going to bring you into the promised land. He's going to be the one that crosses Jordan. He's going to be the one that divvies out the inheritance to the different tribes. He's the one that's going to have a job that's right up there with Moses's. I'm not sure how things would have gone. I know Moses would have led through the promised land just the same as Joshua did. I look at those two very similarly in Scripture as far as their leadership is concerned. And he says in verse 38, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. We need to encourage each other. And particularly in this way. Spiritually. But you know what'll encourage me? What'll encourage me is to see you all move forward spiritually. I don't need you to tell me how good a job I'm doing. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't answer to you. Who do I answer to? Let me tell you, I wish I answered to you. To be frank with you. Because I'm telling you, there are a lot of words that have come out of my mouth from this pulpit and others that I'm going to answer for. Because every single word, when you're preaching in a situation like this, you are accountable for. Which is why I've been as guarded as I possibly can, but there are times, and this goes all the way back into my ministry, even in the prisons. The greatest encouragement that you could be to me is to hearken unto the word of the Lord. And you know what? If you hearken unto the word of the Lord, you will grow spiritually, and that will encourage me like nothing else will. What do you want? A mega church? 350 members? I'm going to be frank with you. Yeah. Not at any cost, though. Not at any cost, though. See, there's the difference. Would I like to see growth? Yeah. I was just whining about it not too long ago. You didn't hear me. I'm confessing now. I was. We're just in this no man's land here. But I don't want the wrong kind either. And you all know what I'm talking about, okay? But it's hard today for any church our size. It is. Because I've talked to guys all over. I have. It's not easy. But you know what? I don't need to bust that back wall out to be encouraged if I see a flock who's growing in the Lord. That'll be my bread and butter. That is what would make me the happiest. I don't need put up bricks to be happy. No, I don't. What would make me happy is if we all mature the way we're supposed to spiritually. And one good way of doing it is to encourage each other. It's a sign of Christian maturity. Let's go down to, let's just go right to Philippians chapter 1. Because we got to do the Lord's Supper. Philippians chapter 1. Lord, I hope I skipped to the right one. Yes, thank you, Lord. A synonym of optimistic, and the last one that I read is this, confident. Okay? Confident. Now, I'm not talking about the world's confident. The world's confident, at its root core, is pride. Okay? If we develop the world's confident, we're doomed as a church, as an assembly. We're doomed. Because pride will invade, division will ensue, and we will blow up. No, this is a different confident. Philippians chapter 1, let me just read down through to get the context and we'll get to the verse. Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You know that's saying something? Oh, yeah. That is saying something about this group of believers. Every time I think about you, I thank God for you. Whew. Can we say that about each other? Or are we... Huh? Yeah. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. He's not down on the altar weeping for them like he was for Corinth, right? There's no telling the tears and the anguish that he suffered over the church of Corinth. Not the case here with the Philippian church. Not that case. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing. Here's our confidence. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Notice, it had a starting date. It had a starting date. My starting date was April the 4th, 1999. I'm blessed to know the actual day. I know about the time. It would have been about 8:30. It was an evening service. They always started at 7. Pretty sure. It would have been 2 verses into the invitation hymn. I know where I was sitting. I know where I knelt. Being confident of this very thing, that he had that hath begun a good work in you, what does it say there? Will perform it. You know what makes me optimistic about 2024? Christ is going to keep on working on me. No one's arrived yet. Okay? If you're thinking they ain't no working on you because you're there, we need to talk. Actually, we don't need to talk. You need to get on your knees before God. Or I do, if I'm in that spot. Begun a good work in you, will perform it Until what? Until I'm standing next to him. Either in death, because what does it say? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Either in death or by the rapture, he's working on me. The question is, are you going to let him? Because he can't work on you if there's no work to be done. You see, whether or not he's able to work on us depends on our attitude. Is my attitude, there's work to be done? Or is my attitude, Lord, you need to work on the rest of this congregation? You know what my prayer is? So that I can feed you? It's not that God will work on you. It's that God will work on me so that I can feed you. He's not done working on any of us. But what makes me optimistic for 2025? I'm confident that he's going to keep working on me. But I want to challenge you tonight this. Allow him to do that good work. Don't harden your heart. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't push him off the throne. Don't lock him in a back room. Don't allow sin to creep in, because all of those things will hinder the work. And you know what? It's impossible to be optimistic if God's not working on us. It really is. I'm looking forward to all of these precious promises for 2025. Aren't you?